It's time now for Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter, coming to you from the International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. International Christian Fellowship is a Bible-believing church that preaches the uncompromised Word of God and prays for you and your needs. Pastor Peter is bringing the message of salvation, healing, and deliverance throughout the world. Now, here is Pastor Peter.
Hello, praise the Lord, and welcome to Jesus is the Answer. This is Pastor Peter. I'm going to pray for you and your needs. And I believe that our God is going to supply all our needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. The number is on your screen. Please call that number and somebody will answer and pray for you. And I'll also will be able to pray for you. And we will be taking your prayer request and praying in the church for you also. So our God is a prayer answering God, and I want each and every one to be blessed. Last program, I told you I'm going to tell you about the church is not going to go through tribulation. And I believe that God is not going to allow His beloved bride, His church, to go through tribulation. There are three different kinds of view people have. Some people are believing that church will go before the tribulation. Some people believe that church will go middle of the tribulation. And some people believe that after the tribulation, church will be taken to heaven. But I believe that our God is gracious, loving, and He will never allow His people to suffer with a heathen or suffer with a devil and his associate, because that will be the wrath of God pouring on the demonic forces. And so when the devil is ruling in this earth, I don't think the church will be there. I'll give a couple of examples. We have the example in the Old Testament. If you remember, before the flood started, God warned Noah and his family to take the people in the ark. And after that, the flood came. And God protected Noah and his family. And so, you read that in Genesis chapter 6, verses 8 and onwards, how God was gracious to Noah and why God protected Noah, because he was the righteous man in that time. And Peter also says, 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 5, God protected Noah. So we see God was so gracious to righteous people, and the sinners were killed or destroyed. We see another example of Sodom and Gomorrah. The Lot was a righteous man, even though he was not that righteous like Abraham, but he was righteous than other people were living in there. And so when God wanted to destroy the Sodom and Gomorrah, He protected Lot and his family, even though his wife became a pillar of salt, but God protected Lot and his children. In the same way, the children of Israel, they were in Egypt. The Egyptians were harassing them, killing them, destroying them. And they wanted to get rid of Israeli people because they were growing very fast. But you read, Exodus chapter 3 to chapter 15, you will see how God delivered the children of Israel. Even the army started following them. The word of God says, the children of God, the Israeli people, were out of the sea, and the enemy were drowned in the sea. So you can see, we have more than three examples in the Old Testament. I even forgot about Enoch. Enoch was the righteous man, and people were harassing him. They might wanted to kill him because he prophesied that Lord is coming with his army to destroy the evil people. and his prophecy is written in book of Jude. So God took him. So God took righteous people and then destroyed the sinful world. And we can have an example in the world. Each and every king or the president declares the war against some country. And if our people living in that country will tell our people to close the embassy and come home, and all the citizens will be rescued by plane or boat or some other means. And so we do not allow our people to be destroyed with the enemy. That's a common sense. And how these people learn? They learn from God. God rescued his people first, and then the disaster came. The same way God put these thoughts in the king's and president's heart, you do not want your people to be destroyed with the enemy. And so we learn this in the Word of God. God will not allow his righteous people to be destroyed with the evil people. And if you read in 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 9, Peter says, God will not destroy the righteous people with the evil people. He will spare the righteous and then judge the evil people. So now we saw in the Old Testament how God deals with the children, a righteous people. Now we want to learn about Jesus. What Jesus thinking about his people or his bride? If you remember, in St. John chapter 13, Jesus says he loved his own or his disciple until the end. And even on the cross, he says, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they are doing. So Jesus didn't want his people to be destroyed. And so Jesus Christ told his disciples time and time again that I'm going to take you wherever I am. If you remember the St. John chapter 14, what did he say? Your heart should not be troubled. You believe in God the Father. You believe me. Believe also on me. And he says, in my Father's house there are many mansions. And so he said, but I'm going to prepare a place for you. So there are many mansions. I'll be telling you more about those mansions. But right now he says, I'm not taking you to those mansions. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And what was that place? That place is the New Jerusalem. Can you imagine? Jesus Christ is building that building since more than 2,000 years. Almost 2,000 years. When God created all the universe, he just spoke the word. But to make the Adam, he took a dust from a man and breathe on him, and so it took some time to make a man. The same way when he met the woman, he took his Adam's rib and formed a woman. So you can see God prepared man and woman knowledgeable, means thinking that making perfect and precious. The point I was making, Jesus Christ is building the New Jerusalem just for the bride. So when the building is finished, the bride place is prepared, then Jesus Christ will come. And he says, wherever I am, there also you will be. So that means he wants us to be with him. And so just think that Jesus Christ thinks his bride is precious, holy, and he's having intimate relationship with bride. Last time we learned that he says his body, we are his flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone. That means we are so close to Jesus Christ. Why Jesus Christ will allow his bride to go through tribulation? Any husband will not allow his wife and his children to be suffered by the enemy. He will protect. Not only that, you see in John chapter 14, verse 18, he says, I will not leave you comfortless. And another Bible, he says, I will not leave you orphans. So, if somebody leaves you, like there is no father, there is no brother, nobody, and you became orphan, and anybody can make fun of you or destroy you. He says, I'm going to go to heaven. I'm going to prepare a place. I'm going to come back. I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm not going to leave you orphans. I will come and take you with me. And if you read in a book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verse 5, he says, I will never leave you and never forsake you. I will be always with you. That's the promise. When you say never, do you think he will forsake you in the time of tribulation where we need him most? He will never forsake you. He will never leave you. That's why he said, I'll come. He will never keep us in dark or the kingdom of darkness or the when the wrath of God is pouring upon the world. He will not keep you there. He says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Revelation chapter 3 verse 10, he says, I also keep you from the hour of trials or hour of temptation or trouble or destruction or the tribulation. And that promise is given to the church of Philadelphia. And if you read in the book of Revelation chapter 3, you have to read the 7 to 10, he talks about the Church of Philadelphia. If the Church of Philadelphia are doing lots of work for God and winning souls, and that church, he says, I promise you, I will not allow you to go through tribulation or hour of trials or tribulation. That is a promise. Do you believe Jesus, or do you believe some prophet or some Bible scholar who doesn't know the Bible, who doesn't understand the Bible, and he makes his own theory, and you believe that, or you believe Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ says, I will never leave you, never forsake you. And book of Luke chapter 21 and book of Matthew chapter 24 is very confusing chapter. People are getting confused because in those chapters, Jesus Christ talked about secret coming and taking the bride, and the same time in the same chapter says, I'm coming with the glory and power and to rule the world and destroy the enemy. So people get mixed up. But Luke chapter 21, 36 is very clear. He says, pray always. And why he say pray? Pray that you may be counted worthy to be escape all things. All these things. What is these things? What he talked about the trouble coming to this world. So he says, if you always pray and always alert and always look for me. In Colossians chapter 3, he says he is coming. And so you will looking up, not to the world. So Jesus Christ is coming and his disciples, and he always told them to be ready. I'm coming. And the word of God says, if you're sleeping, rise up from your sleep. We cannot spiritually sleeping and somebody telling you, hey, you don't have signs of his coming. Because when Jesus Christ comes, every whole world will be seeing him, and he will come with the glory and power, and then you will know. We are not going to be waiting for that time. Because we learned last program, the church is coming with him to rule and reign. And not only that, Jesus Christ is coming to take revenge and destroy the Antichrist and false prophet and the devil. And so from that we know Jesus Christ is saying pray. And then he gave the commandment in John chapter 15 verse 16. John chapter 16 verse 23 and 24. He says pray. And God will answer your prayer. I will answer your prayer personally. And then he says, when you pray and when you receive your answer, then your joy will be full. Do you think that if the church goes to tribulation and they start praying in the middle of the tribulation and the devil is destroying, the God is destroying devil and many, many problems are happening, what kind of joy you will have and what kind of prayer you will be doing? The Bible says our God is a prayer answering God. In Luke chapter 21, 36, if he says, counted worthy to escape, are you worthy? Who is worthy? Jesus Christ shed his precious blood. And last time we learned in Acts chapter 20, verse 28, he said he has purchased his church with his blood. Once you are washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, or purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ, we are belong to him. And so we are worthy because of blood of Jesus Christ. God is not going to destroy the worthy people with unworthy people. The devil and his followers, they are not worthy to go to heaven. And some enemies, they are not worthy to go to heaven. But we are worthy. He said, counted worthy to be escaped. All these things are happening into this world. And Matthew chapter 24, verse 44, he says, always pray and be ready, because you don't know what hour Christ is coming. He did not give you date. He did not give you time. He did not give you month. He just said, I can come as a thief in the night. He can come anytime. We have to be always ready. So I gave you example from the Old Testament. And I gave you example what Jesus says. Now Jesus says, I am the truth. If the Jesus Christ is telling the truth, that I'm going to take you to heaven and I'm not going to allow you to go through tribulation. As I said, Revelation chapter 3, verse 10, the promise is given to the Church of Philadelphia. If you call yourself that you are equivalent to Church of Philadelphia, you are born again, you are baptized, means you have obeyed the commandment, you are filled with the Holy Spirit, and you are doing the Lord's work like a five wise virgin. The Word of God says, who is wise? Whoever wins the soul, that person is wise. And if you are wise, if you are ready, if you are alert, and you will be making it when Christ comes or the bridegroom comes. So when Jesus Christ said, I will not allow you to go through tribulation, why should you believe somebody else? I believe Jesus. And I want to follow him. I don't want to go through tribulation. Somebody says, oh, we go to tribulation because we want to preach the gospel to them. And then somebody says, oh, 144,000 sealed in the Revelation chapter 7, they will be preaching there. And I told you last time, those 144,000 are not going to be preachers. They are going to be protected and they will be going in the tribulation and protected for the millennium kingdom. And so they are not a preacher. Amos says in those days, they will be not famine of bread or water. They will be famine of the word of God. So they won't be any preacher. That's why the word of God says he will send the angels. And Revelation chapter 2, he says he will send two witnesses. Now, I don't have time to explain to you for two witnesses, but there are also people making so much confusion. Some people say these two witnesses will come end of the tribulation. If they are coming in the middle of the tribulation or end of the tribulation, then the devil will not be able to do anything, because these two witnesses has power to stop his work or give him hard time. Not only that, they can even try to kill him, and his deadly wound was healed. And people are saying, oh, he died and he rose again. No, he will never die, because he will die in hell. It means alive for eternity. Jesus Christ, only one, got the victory over the death, and he is the only first fruit of resurrection. You cannot compare Antichrist dying and resurrecting. The Word of God says his deadly wound. In those days, we have modern technology in a hospital, and they might have tried their best to heal that wound, but they might have thought he's already in coma, he's going to die, and then he survived. But he was never dead. The point I'm making, those two witnesses will be in the first of the 3.5 years, because tribulation is 7 years. Some people even don't believe that tribulation is 7 years. One man comes on TV and always says, I don't believe there is a tribulation for 7 years. But the Bible says the enemy, the devil, will make a treaty with the Israeli people for 7 years. And then middle of the 7 years, he will break the treaty. And that also I cannot explain to you today. Some other day we will do. But the point I'm making, these two witnesses in Revelation chapter 11, they are coming and they are going to be witnessing first 3.5 years. So first 3.5 years, a mild tribulation. Why? Because these two witnesses are not allowing this Satan or his army or his kingdom to function properly, because they are doing science and wonders and miracles and causing problem, even that they are causing fire coming to on his throne. But end of this 3.5 years tribulation, then when he comes out of this coma or deadly wound is healed, then he kills those two witnesses. And then these two witnesses, God calls them up to heaven, and then he breaks the treaty. But that we are, our subject is not that. Our subject is today, church will not go through tribulation. God knows how to protect his people, and God knows how to destroy the evil people. So keep that in your mind, that God is loving and kind, and Jesus Christ loved the church. The Word of God says, Ephesians chapter 5, he said, Jesus loved his church and loves his church. If Jesus loves his church, do you think he's going to allow the church to go through tribulation, go through suffering with the evil people, because somebody believes that? Bible doesn't say that we are going to go through tribulation. I already said, God said it, Jesus said it, and so I believe it. And so I want to tell you, be ready. The time is not tomorrow or day after tomorrow. Tomorrow never comes. The salvation is today. The Word of God says day of salvation is today. You preach people that you should be ready. Tomorrow, nobody knows. We are not going to wait tomorrow to get saved. So we should be always ready that Jesus Christ is coming. And this is the message we should be giving to church or the world or everyone who wants to listen to the gospel. You cannot tell these people, don't worry, you don't have any signs. Let the world event start. Let the war start. Let the Christ comes in glory, and then he will take the church. If he takes the church in the end of the tribulation, how he will stay there in heaven and have a marriage, and then he come back to destroy the enemy? It's impossible. It doesn't work that way. Before the tribulation starts, the church has to go on. And so I'll be talking to you this in a next program. The time is not permitting. The time is almost gone. But let me tell you, first thing you think, when you're studying the Word of God, you have to always think what the Jesus said and what the Apostle said and what the Word of God says. Trust on those things. Not somebody makes the theory and do not have support. I studied this theory, but that theory doesn't have any meat, doesn't have any leg, doesn't have any power to stand on. If you ask them, give me the proof that church will go through tribulation, they have no solid proof like I'm giving. And so we will be studying more in the next session or the next program. But let me tell you, we have to be ready all the time. And the Word of God says, Jesus Christ says, pray always to escape all these things and count it worthy to be escaped. I believe I'm worthy because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Don't you think so? If you're not worthy, I'll tell you what to do. Call upon Jesus. Give your life to Jesus Christ. Obey His commandment into the water baptism. And filled with the Holy Spirit. Be His bride and ready for His coming. Let me give you a chance. I'm going to pray and give you a chance to pray. Pray with me. Say, Lord Jesus, please come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Please forgive all my sins. Wash me with your precious blood. Make me your bride. And let me live for you and for your glory. I don't want to go into this tribulation. Save me. Rescue me, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now let me pray for you. You prayed this prayer. God heard our prayer. Let me pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for these listeners or the TV audience. Let them know what the Word of God is saying, that Jesus Christ coming very soon for His glory. Rescue those people. Give them faith. Protect them. Supply their needs. Heal them. Deliver them. And set them free. In Jesus' name I pray and I call it done. Amen. And amen. Now let me tell you, if you want to know more about these subjects or any other subjects, the number is on your screen. Call that number. There is an email address. There is telephone number. There is our mailing address. Call us. All the programs are free. Now, may God richly bless you and use you more and more for His glory. Amen. And amen.
You've been listening to Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter of International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. If this program has been a blessing to you, please let Pastor Peter know. Write to Pastor Peter at Post Office Box 5033, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania 19111. Again, that's Pastor Peter, Box 5033, Philadelphia, PA 19111. Pastor Peter and his prayer partners are taking your calls right now. The number is 215-342-3759. Again, that's 215-342-3759. You can also send email to icfprayerline@comcast.net. Every Sunday at 11 a.m., International Christian Fellowship has a worship service with communion and healing service. You can find more information at www.internationalchristianfellowship.org. This is a faith ministry. Your prayers and financial support are greatly appreciated. And please remember to tune in next time for Jesus is the Answer.